continue from where we left off. We were talking about whether you can have hana from what a guy does, and essentially we divided into what type of hana you get. If there's a direct hana is defined as in you can something that you could not have done had the guy not enabled you to do it. And that's a direct hana. But if you could have done it without the guy's intervention, then that's not a direct hana. There's a separate issue is that when you told him to do something, the isur, so then you're not allowed to, whatever the hana is, you're not allowed to have hana from it. But if you didn't tell him the isur, or he did it by himself without you telling him anything, so then the question is whether he had direct hana or not. And we discussed various cases like that accordingly. There's lots to go. So let's go on. A guy who came into your house and saw the light on and turned it off, and he realized that it was a mistake to turn it off because you still...
Oh, my speaker is not working. I can't hear anything.
Not working or not on? Okay, so we were saying that if a guy came into your house and without being asked, he went and he turned off the light. Why? We can think of 101 scenarios that he thought that was the right thing to do, or he inadvertently did it, or one of the examples given in Halacha is that he saw that your candle was burning low, so he decided to add oil in against your will. And then he was a bit of a schlemazel, and he poured the oil in, and he caused the candle to go out. So now he put the candle out, and he feels bad, and he sees that he ruined your Friday night meal because he extinguished your light. He put the candle out, he put the light off, is whatever it is, and he quickly corrects himself, or even if he does it slowly, not important, but he corrects himself and he turns it on again. At that point, we say, can you have hana from the fact that he turned on the light? And the answer is yes, because he turned it on for his own sake. He's embarrassed that he messed up, that he turned off your light and made you uncomfortable, and therefore, when he put it on again, he didn't do it for you, he did it for himself. So therefore we say that if a guy came and turned up the light and then realized his mistake and turned it on again, you're allowed to continue to have hana from what he did. So too, if a guy, you have a ozeret in the house and she sees your chicken on the stove and she sees that it's drying out and she decides to take it off the stove. And now the chicken's getting cold and you didn't want it to get cold. You want it to be warm. And then she realized the mistake that you're not needed warm, you still need it on the fire for a while, whatever the case may be, and she puts it back on the fire. So again, normally if a guy puts your food on the fire, then you cannot have hana from it. But here she did it for her own purpose because she realized that she was a bit of a shemazel and she did something or he did something wrong, and therefore they're correcting what they feel that they did wrong, and therefore that's considered as doing it for their own sake and not for your sake. However, what you have to be careful about is not to tell them off. If they turned off the light, you don't say, what? What did you just do? Now, even if you don't tell them, turn it back on again, or how can you, but by saying, you know, how can you turn it off and leave me in the dark, even if which is Sikud Varim Ba'alma, and you didn't give them a command to turn it on again, but then we changed the incentive. And now, if the guy's going to turn the light on again, we're going to say that the reason why they're doing it is because they don't want to be told off by you, and suddenly it's on your behalf and not their behalf. So if such a thing happens, then one should keep quiet, and if on their own accord they go and fix the situation up, it's for their own good, for their own good feeling, if you want to call it that way, and therefore it is permissible to have hana from the resultant action that they have done. So again, if a guy turned off the lights and realized their error and turned it on again, or turned off the stove and turned it on again, so if you there was no intervention from your behalf, you didn't say anything, you didn't object, and they did it on their own accord, then it's mutter to have hana from the resultant action that they have done. Okay, so more halachas about getting hana from what a guy has done for you. If a guy, you gave your shoes to the shoemaker, and the repair required something that is also to do on Shabbos, and the guy went and did it for you, which is fine. You can give your shoe to the shoemaker, and he can repair it on Shabbos. It's not a problem. As we said, as long as you don't force him to do it on Shabbos by giving it to him just before Shabbos and telling him you pick it up on Moshe Shabbos. But if you gave it to him just before Shabbos, and the understanding would be that you can pick it up on Monday, So the fact that he did it on Shabbos is not a problem. However, what about the fact that you walk past the shop on Shabbos morning and he says, oh, your shoes are ready, take them now already and pay me later. That we say is Asur, even if he comes and delivers them to your house, you may not wear them. And not only that, on Moitzah Shabbos, you've got to wait, B'chadei Shiyasu. You have to wait the time it takes to do that prepare so that you don't get hung off from what a guy did for you by the fact that he did it on Shabbos. As I said, normally when you give him the shoes to repair, you give it to him on a Friday to pick up on a Monday, or you give it on a Thursday to pick up on a Sunday. You always give him enough time that it doesn't need to be repaired on Shabbos. Now he decides to make the repair on Shabbos. That's for his own benefit, because he doesn't want to do the work on Sunday, or he doesn't want to do the work on a Friday. So he does it on Shabbos. But from my point of view, I'm not allowed to get gain from the fact that he did it on Shabbos. I have to give him enough time during the week to have had it done. And the mailer, even if he just opens my door, whatever, I walk past the shop, I cannot have manah from his work that was done on Shabbos. I need to wait the time it takes to repair it. So too, the same thing would be if you're in a hotel where they have the protocol that if you leave your shoes outside your room, then room service will come and take them and polish them and bring them back a couple of hours later, that you have to be careful not to leave your shoes outside your door on a Friday night, because it's even though you didn't say a word and they went and they took it by themselves, but this is understood as if you're asking them as part of your contract of staying in a hotel that they supply this service, and therefore it's like asking them to do the polishing on Shabbos, and therefore you should not leave your shoes out on a Friday night. Now, what about if a goy brought food through a Rosh Hashanah? You have food that you would like to get hold of, but that food is now unavailable to you. Well, not totally unavailable to you, it's just that the food is in a different house and you want it here. You could go to the other house and eat it there, but you don't want to. You want to eat it here, and a goy comes and brings it for you. Without, we're not talking about whether you tell him to do it, because that will be a problem. You can't tell him to do something else. That still remains something also for you to ask a goy to do something for you, unless it's a derabbanon. So we have a shvus. The shvus telling a goy to do a derabbanon is a double shvus, and you have a makom tzar. If you have nothing to eat, or you're having you had lots of guests and short of food, excuse me. So then you may ask the goy to bring your food through a shvus or having derabbanon to your meal. Now we're talking about, without getting into the idea of whether you asked, I didn't ask him, he brought it. Whether it was you asked his meheter or whether he did it on his own accord, he brought it and he brought it for you. Could be something that he has in his own house and he wants to give you as a gift. He has a bar of chocolate that he knows has a good heksher on it, and he knows you like it and he wants to do you a favor, and he brings you a bar of chocolate. Can you eat that bar of chocolate? So we say that since essentially that bar of chocolate was available to you, whatever he brought, you could have eaten it. The lack of your ability to eat was just a distance, and the distance you could have walked yourself. It was not like you could not have gone there. So the food was available to you. So you didn't get a direct canal by the fact that he brought it here. Yes, it made it more comfortable, made it more convenient that the food that he brought is now in my house and not in his house. But theoretically speaking, I could have just gone there to get it, and therefore if he brings me something, he brings something edible through a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, even if it were to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin D'oraisa, where I'm not allowed to ask him to do anything, but he did it on his own accord, can I have hanah from what he did? The answer is yes. I may have hanah from what he did because I could have had it myself. Sorry, I made a mistake, sorry. You cannot eat the food on Shabbos, but on Moitzah Shabbos, you don't have to wait. It's not like the shoes where we said you have to wait for the time it takes for the goy to fix the shoes until you can have it. Here you can have direct hanah immediately on Moitzah Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, you cannot. We worried about that you might come to ask them to bring it next week. Therefore, if you enjoy it this week, you might come to use it next week. There is an opinion that holds that you can have hanah from it. We don't pass in it. As far as I remember, it's shita ben tam. But no, we pass in that you cannot eat it on Shabbos, but on Moitzah Shabbos you can have it. And here, because of the fact that you could have eaten it in his house, therefore you didn't really get a gain from the fact that he brought it over, therefore there's no B'chdei Shiyasu, you don't have to wait the time it takes for him to bring it over. It took 20 minutes to bring it over, you don't have to wait that 20 minutes. Unlike with the shoes, where we know that it takes him an hour to fix, so you've got to wait an hour on Moitzah Shabbos before you can wear them. There's another din to bring in. I don't know why I can't see it. Oh, it's coming up. Yeah. Okay. So we'll get to that in a moment. Well, I will mention it now. And that is that when a goy, oh, so I said, if the goy brings food, you cannot eat it. We will see that there's a second issue to take into account, and that is you have to know whether the food is mukta or not. The reason why I brought an example of a bara chaket is a bara chaket that is not mukta, made before Shabbos, no malacha was done with it. Whereas if you brought me a fruit, and it's that type of fruit that was picked, could have been picked from his garden, he has a lemon tree in his garden, and he brought me a fresh lemon, so I'm going to be cautious that he picked it today, and any fruit that was picked today, even if it is rishus of a goy, is mukta. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, what about if a goy did boirer for me? I am going to prepare some food, and instead I get the goy to do it for me, and the goy prepares the food by taking the toilet outside. So here's another example of something that I could have done in an ethnic way, and the fact that the goy did it in an authentic way is his problem, not mine. So like we've said before, if I ask a goy to get something on the third floor of the hotel, and he decides to take the lift and not to use the elevator and not to use the stairs, that's his issue. He could have very well have used the stairs. It would take a little bit longer, a little bit more effort. But it's not like I told him he has to do it in 30 seconds. He can take 10 minutes over it. It doesn't matter. If I told him to bring 300 chairs down to the dining room, and there was no way that he could bring them by the stairs, 300 chairs by the stairs, the only way would be to bring them in the elevator. So then I'm asking to use the elevator. That would be a problem. But if I'm telling him, same thing if I ask a guy to wash my dishes, he could wash it with cold water. If he decides to use hot water, that's his issue, and therefore I don't care if he turns on the boiler and uses hot water. So too, if I ask him to do boirer, I could have done it myself. I could have asked him to do it in the derecheta, they should take the oak and take the. If he decides to take the solus and take the oak, take the bad out of the good, instead of taking the good out of the bad, that's his issue, not mine, and therefore, since I could do it myself, therefore I didn't gain anything from what the guy did in the non-permitted way, which for me would not be a permitted way. I didn't gain anything by the fact that he changed the procedure, and therefore I may have enough of what he's done. Now we're going to have an interesting question. What happens if a goy did malacha for a chayle? We know that chayle mesukon, someone who is in a life-threatening situation, the halacha is that you can get a goy to do anything. In fact, you get a Jew to do things as well. But we're talking about, now we're discussing the ramifications of what a goy does. A goy can do anything for the health and for the recovery of this Jew. And so too, if you have a chayle she'en basakana, he's very ill, but there's no threat to his life, a stable condition, but just bad. And now, you can get a shvus, you can even do a single shvus, you can get a goy to do a malacha for you, for the sake of a chayle she'en basakana. Now he did a malacha for you, for the sake of this sick person. May other people benefit from the malacha that the goy has done. He's done it for the chayle. The question is whether a healthy person may benefit. So we say that essentially yes, but we need two conditions. First of all, we have to be in a situation where there would be no problem or no chashash that the goy increases what he does if he knew that a healthy person would partake of it. So if he turns on the light, everybody in the room enjoys one light. There's now 3 people in the room, or 7 people in the room, or 25 people in the room, he's still turning on the same light. So there's no chashash, what we call Shema Yosef, that he turned on more lights or will turn on another light if he discovers there's more people. But if he's cooking food, and for the chayle needs cooked food. That was the doctor prescribed. So now you can't cook it yourself, so you're going to cook it. So obviously we have issues of visual outcome over here that we have to deal with. That's a separate story. As we get to we'll discuss that. what to do with the leftover, on with Shabbos, or what to do with the pot. It's a discussion that we'll get to over there. But meanwhile, let us put that aside. He's cooking something that there's no problems of Bishul Akum, and he now serves it to the Choyle and his leftovers. Can a healthy person eat the leftover? And the answer is no. Because if the guy knew that you would be eating the leftovers, we worry that the guy will cook extra so that there will be more for you. So when there's a chashash, that something that the guy does, if he realizes that someone other than the Choyle will partake, and he might add, then we say that it's possible for the healthy person to partake of what we've done. That is rule number one, legabe, whether a non-sick person can partake of what the goy has done. So again, if it's turning on the light, we say, what candle is good enough for one, good enough for 100, makes no difference. Therefore, if he turns on a light, then there's no problem to have anah from that light. If he's cooking food or he's doing something like that, he's bringing something across the Rishus HaRabim, then he could bring more. So then we say that you may not, the healthy person may not partake of it because we're afraid that it might cause the goy to bring more. The second issue to take into account is mukhsa. If the, now for the sick person, we can allow him to eat this food or partake of whatever needs to be partaken of for the sake of his health, but the healthy person has to take into account that there could be an issue mukhsa. If the goy brings a food that you know that was raw on Erev Shabbos, and it's that type of food that is mukhsa when it's raw, not all raw foods are mukhsa. Fruits are not mukhsa when they're raw, but could be that meat and those type of proteins that can only be eaten when they're cooked. So when they're raw, they're considered mukhsa. And therefore, if he took some type of protein like that and went and cooked it, so it doesn't change the status out of mukhsa, because migudis kasova benashmashas, something that was mukhsa during benashmashas, even if its status changed during Shabbos, retained its mukhsa status throughout Shabbos. So now he's taken some protein, which was mukhsa benashmashas, and he cooked it for the sake of this sick person. So even if we don't have a problem of Shema Yosef, we're not worried that he might cook more for whatever the example might be, but it could very well be that therefore we're going to say that the problem of mukta, therefore the health person can eat. So another example would be if a goy brought a freshly picked fruit. That's the same thing. We'll say that the healthy person may not partake of the remainder of that fruit because fruit that was picked from Shabbos is mukta. Which follows on to the next category that we're going to talk about is what happens if a goy did a malacha for himself. He only had himself in mind, and now once he's done it, I want to have a very simple example. Is a goy is sitting in a room and it's getting dark. He reads the newspaper and he turns the light on. And now I want to join him. Can I go into the room where the goy has turned on the light? All right, turn on the light on Shabbos. So that is an example of a goy doing a malacha for himself, or he does it for other goyim. If you have a, say, a hotel, and you have a lobby, and at 6 o'clock, the rule is lights go on. They don't have a timer. They have an employee who goes around and turns on the light in the various rooms so that people can use them. And this is a hotel that has goyish guests. Therefore, we know that it's turning off for the goyim. Jew happens to walk in Friday night after the lights have been turned on for the goyish guests that were already in the hotel, so he can have an off from these lights. So this is the question. We'll get to a couple of other examples. The goy did a malacha, which appears to be that he did for himself or for another goy, even was a malacha daraisa, and the result of his malacha does not lead us into a situation that if he sees a Jew coming, he's going to change it. So an example given in halacha is if you see a goy feeding his animals, there's a public trough and he puts food or water into the trough in a way that he has to require him to do a halacha. For example, either he has to cut the grass or he has to move the water from one rishus to another. The water is in rishus ha-riyachid, the trough is in rishus ha-rabim, so he has to take the water out of the well and pour it into the trough. Now the question is, I'm walking past this trough a little while later, can I let my animal drink from this trough? And we use it, Lashon Halacha, is he makiro and a makiro? Does the goy know who you are? Obviously, if the goy did put the water in or the grass into the trough and he's gone and he's disappeared and you come to the trough and you see that there's food inside, you can let your animal partake of that food or water. But we're talking about when the goy is still there. The goy sees you coming. He's got his donkey, his horse is enjoying his afternoon snack, and the goy sees you coming down the road. So that we say that if the goy knows you, he recognizes you, you have a personal relationship with it. So very possibly he says, oh, my good friend the Jew's coming. When he's at the trough, he always puts a little bit extra in for me, so that I don't have to do more work when my animal comes. Let me do him the favor, and I'll add a little bit more because of it. So even if you're not standing there, but he sees you coming in the distance, you use a lashon of makira, he knows who you are, he's going to add it. But if you're unknown to him, so then we'll say, generally speaking, he won't add. Sometimes you get some goyim who just see someone coming and say, oh, let me add for it. If you know that the goy is going to be adding it for you, then you may not partake because he's done now the malacha for you. So much the malacha involved, obviously. As I gave an example, he had to cut the grass or he had to move the water from one rishus to another. So now we're talking about you want to be nene from the malacha that a goy does for himself. So first of all, we've got to make sure that the malacha that he did for himself would not be influenced by the fact that I'm coming along, that he's going to change what he did by adding or increasing or something like that as because of me. And second of all, that there's no issue of mukta over here. So now how do we know when a goy does it for himself? So sometimes circumstantial, you can tell. If a goy is sitting in a room and he turns on the light and he starts reading the newspaper, you know that he turns on the light so that he can read the newspaper. There's lots of other people in the room. We say his primary purpose of turning on the light was for himself, even though he knew that everybody else is going to appreciate it. That was not his primary purpose. He wouldn't have gone up and done it. Or he might have got up and done it, but then we would have said he would have done it for other people. But right now, the fact that he sat down to read, we say his primary intention was for himself, and therefore that makes mutter as if he did it for a goy and not for a yid, therefore it's fine. So sometimes it's, you know, something he does in his own house, or he does in a place where he's not a goyim, that would be clear that he's doing it for goyim, or something where there's other people around, but you see that he is involved in it for himself. As I said, he gets hanok from what he does. Immediately, then we know that he does it for himself. So therefore, we want to add in two points to take into account when what he's doing is something that everybody can appreciate without him having to add any effort. So then, that's number one. And number two is that you know he's not doing it for a Jew, because he doesn't know there's a Jew here, or he doesn't know who the Jew is, and therefore he wouldn't bother himself to go out of the world to take of the Jew. Once you have these two conditions met, and you know that he's doing it for himself, so then it would be fine. Some examples of this would be a guy who turned on the light and immediately used it. As I said before, he took out his newspaper. You know that even though there are hidden around, but he's doing it for himself. It could be that he's doing it for the other people, but since turning on light is only a one action, he's not going to turn on extra lights. Could be that if he's in a large hall and he turns on the lights on the one side, and it would suffice for him, and now he sees his people on the other side, turns it on the other side as well, and he only sits on one side to read, you know that when he turns on the other side, that's for the other people, not for himself. But so you've got to take every case aware and take the factors into account. But generally speaking, one flick of a switch turns on all the lights in one room, and now he sits down to read. You know that he does it for himself. Now, this halacha, that if he does something for himself, and it's clear that he does it for himself because he then goes and does an action based on the halacha that he did, so you see that he did it for himself, and therefore it's mutter for a Jew to have hanah for what he's done, applies even if the incentive for him to get involved over here was because of the Jew. Example, you asked a guy to wash the dishes, and he was not happy to wash the dishes in the dark, so he went and he turned on the light. So there you go, he turned it on for himself. Now, when he leaves the room, or even before he leaves the room, you can come join him in that room and wash the dishes. Not only that, you can even tell him, please do not turn off the light, because you haven't told him to do any malacha. But to tell him not to do a malacha is mutter on Shabbos. You can tell him, please do not turn off the light, as long as you weren't in the room when he turned it on, because then and you were going to wash dishes with him. If both of you are coming to wash dishes, you had one sink and him and another, and you're going to be washing dishes, and now he turns on the light, so then he's turning it on for me and you together, because he sees you like you're going to be washing dishes. But if he starts washing dishes and he turns it on for himself, and you come a minute or two or whatever later, so when he turned it on, he didn't know you were coming, then we would say that it clearly was done, that he turned it up for himself, even though what put him in the situation was my request to wash dishes. Nevertheless, he didn't turn on the light for me. He's washing dishes for me, but he didn't turn on the light for me. Therefore, I can enjoy that light. And as I said, you can ask him to leave the light on. If a guy boiled water, and now he boiled it for his own cup of coffee. But we have a chashash that if he sees that a Jew is going to partake from it, he's going to boil more, he's going to fill the kettle more, or he's going to re-boil some more water, then the Jew may not have any of that hot water, so that we don't put him in a situation where he would have or will cook for the Jew. However, on Motzei Shabbos, we say that you're allowed to use the water immediately, because it's not amira, because it's not hanah, the fact that he cooked the amount of two cups of coffee, even though he only needed one, that's not the type of hanah that we say, I ask him to cook for me. We're afraid that he might cook for me if I would drink that coffee on Shabbos. Therefore, Motzei Shabbos, we say it's mutter miyad. However, if he boiled water, and he did not have a Jew in mind whatsoever, now you want to use the leftover of the water, then that would be permissible on Shabbos. For example, if you go into a place where they serve a coffee house or something like that, and the clientele there are goyim, so the hot water there has been supplied for the goyim, or even if a person is in a hotel where they have a coffee bar and they're forever cooking up water, and you tell the staff, don't take me into account, I'm not going to be using hot water because I don't want the goyim to cook hot water for me on Shabbos, so you tell him, no, I'm not using hot water. Later on Shabbos afternoon, you change your mind, since when he cooked the water, did not have you in mind, because you told him not to be using it, so now you're pretty certain that he didn't cook it for you, therefore you're allowed to take that water. There's no problem of Shema Yosef, because he didn't have you in mind. You have to watch out that if he sees you taking, he's going to add more water into this because of what you did. Hey, you didn't keep what you said. So obviously you have to take that into account and not cause that he's going to cook more, boil more water afterwards as a result of what you've done because of, or for you, I should say. Because it is not a problem. If you take out water, you're going to a coffee house and you get a cup of coffee, and you know the water was cooked for the clientele, which is goyim, and the maybe you come and take now, they've got less water in the pot, and he pours more water in. That's not really that he's cooking it for you, he's cooking it for others. True, you had some water, and because of that, he's now going to cook for others, but that's still cooked for others and not cooked for you. Okay? A goy that milked his own cow or picked his own fruit. We said a guy that milks my cow, we had a whole discussion before whether you're allowed to tell him or not tell him, can allow it, but you shouldn't look on Shabbos. Here the question is, can you drink the milk that a guy milked out of his own cow? He's not a problem of Chalavakim, you were watching, you saw it happen, whatever. And obviously, if you're watching, we're not talking about the fact knows that the next thing you're going to do is ask for something for you. But the guy who milked his own cow was for his own uses, or he picked his own fruit for his own uses, and now he offers you some. We have an opportunity to have partake of it. The problem is that it is mukta, because a cow is mukta, and therefore it comes out of the cow is mukta. The fruit was on the tree, and therefore it's mukta at Shabbos, and when it comes off the tree, it doesn't change its status. Even though we do have a thing that when goyim hold on to us, we don't say migudish katsois, we do, this is one of them that we do, and therefore a guy who offers you whether it's a fruit or milk or even eggs that could have been laid today, we're going to say that you may not partake of it because of a separate problem of mukta. Even if we know that the guy did it for himself and now he's offering to you, that's still the issue over here is not that he did it for you. The issue is mukta. Not only that, even if it's a doubt, a sophic, whether he did it today or yesterday, the possibility that he could have done it today, we've got to be machmir. We don't trust the guy to tell us that he did it yesterday, unless we know it's Masiyat HaFitumai, that's a whole discussion itself, was when can you trust the guy when he tells you something? If he is aware of the fact that it's going to make a difference to you. Usually a guy, for example, when we talk about a Yom Tov, a guy delivers eggs. So usually the guy is going to tell you they're as fresh as possible. He's not going to tell you that they were laid yesterday because it makes them a day off. You want fresh eggs that were laid today. So if a guy comes to you and tells you that the eggs were laid yesterday, then that's considered as Masiyat HaFitumai, which means that through a casual comment through his conversation, you picked up a fact that they were laid yesterday. Then, could under certain circumstances, you could rely on it. If the guy is aware of the fact that this makes a difference to you, then we don't trust that this was an innocent comment, but rather it was a loaded comment that he knew that would make it easier for you, then you cannot trust it. It has to be purely innocent. It has to be something which he's not going to gain from it. In other words, by saying that the eggs are a day older than they are, it's something that he's not going to advertise willingly, and therefore they would be mocking to trust in Mashiach the Pitumoi. But without getting into that whole halakhic discussion, basically a guy who's offering you some of his own wares, and there's a possibility that it was mukta when Shabbos came in, therefore we don't have it on Shabbos, either the Sofek. If he's offering you a dried fruit, there's no way he could have picked it today and managed to dry it by now, and therefore it must have been from before Shabbos, therefore it's not mukta. If he's offering you fresh fruit, so then we cannot have partake fruit on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll hold it for there this week. To be continued, and it's big and long, there's more on it.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.